The Bird Show.
So Melissa and I are both playing injured this morning. Mm-hmm. I jacked up my knee playing soccer this weekend, and I'm fairly certain I tore my ACL. My doctor's not 100% sure because it's so swollen right now, he couldn't tell. Mm-hmm. He did some tests on it that indicate that it's not great. So I'm going in for an MRI on Thursday.
And you're in so much pain, you had to leave the show and go get some painkillers this morning.
I did. I'm pretty loopy right now.
Yeah, but does your knee feel better?
Yes.
Does it help, like, instantly?
No, it takes about 20 minutes to kick in.
No, but okay. I mean, once it kicks in, all the pain in your knee goes away, or it just subsides a little bit?
It subsides, and I don't take a whole one. I take a half one. If I took a whole one, I'd probably feel great. But then you guys could have some real fun. And I don't feel like being that vulnerable with Jeff here.
Maybe we should all take them.
All of you guys take them? Oh,
yeah,
I'd love to see you on them.
We'll do the show.
So, yeah, I'm a little on the loopy side today. But, yeah, the pain is going away for sure. So I'll know Thursday what's going on with that. I'm just bummed out because, I mean, I'm in my 40s now, and I still want to be active. I'm playing soccer, and I've had the time of my life the last couple of weeks playing.
Aww.
And I'm coming to the realization that I can't keep up, man. Sucks. Like, what are you supposed to do?
That does suck.
And you had torn your other knee before, right?
Yeah, that was long time ago.
That was a party-related injury. Yeah. Overcompensated for so long.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. We'll find out more Thursday. And then Melissa's back, and she's been out for, what, a week and a half now?
Yeah, and I seriously considered being out this week, but I thought, no, I'm going to tough it out. I got laryngitis a couple weeks ago, felt fine, no big deal, just lost my voice. But one of the things, for those who don't know, I'm a kidney transplant recipient, and I got my transplant in 2002. And one of the things with kidney transplants, or any transplants, is that we take medicines to suppress our immune system, because the idea is if our body recognized the foreign object, which is the transplanted organ, then it would fight against it and try to reject it. So I have to be very careful about not getting sick. And so they tease me in here all the time because I take so many preventative measures and not getting sick that there have been times when everybody in the room has gotten sick and I have not gotten sick. This illness has probably been the worst I've had since my transplant, because it started as laryngitis, and then it kind of evolved into ear infection on both ears. I still can't hear out of one of them. I kind of can hear out of the other one. And if it doesn't clear up on its own, then I'm going to have a procedure in order to clear my ears out.
Is that why you only have one part of your headphones
your ears today? The earphone thing, too, is because the tubes running from my ears also are a little swollen, so the headphones kind of irritate them. So I'm just generally uncomfortable and have been so for going on 3 weeks now.
You want one of them pills?
It's just
Bert's
brutal.
No, I had to get off those pills in order to come to work. I've been on narcotics all last week, and I didn't know where I was. I didn't know, I didn't know what day it was. I missed most of the Haitian coverage. I missed most of the Lane Kiffin coverage because I was so out of it.
Wow.
I just was so sick, and so I'm still sick. But one of the things that it brought up to me and Katie is, this is the first time she's seen me really sick since we dated.
Mm-hmm. And y'all been together 4 years?
We've been together 4 years now. And, one of the things for me that is always in the back of my mind is the fact that a kidney transplant is not a cure. It is a treatment for kidney disease. So the kidney, people ask me all the time about the kidney transplant. No, it is not permanent. Yes, it could be gone any day. Anything could knock it out. And so as you just go in life knowing that, because I just feel like, well, without modern medicine, I would have died before I was 30.
If something were to happen to that kidney now,
mm-hmm. Does
that get you higher on the transplant list? Or because you've had one already, does it lower
much,
you, or is it the same?
It's pretty much the same. I mean, I go in, people, it's first come, first serve. So, certainly the most ill will get, people want to save somebody's life. Mm-hmm. But,
so
I'd be on
sort of
list.
Always live with that in the back of your head. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go back on dialysis and I'd have to search for another organ. So, it's my response because, you never know what's going to happen. And so, you accept whatever happens. But my responsibility is to do my best to keep from being the contributor to it. I take my medicines as I'm supposed to, and I do the best I can not to get sick. And so anyway, in this case, I was really sick last week and I just was not feeling better. As you know, when you get really, really sick, the core of you is just so weak. So last week, one of the things that crossed my mind was, what if I don't get better? What if I don't get well? Because the laryngitis turned into an ear infection, which turned into me being on the couch. I mean, literally, you know, Katie said when I'd fall asleep, I would just be constantly talking. I was so restless and so just uncomfortable. And, you know, and I just kept, and it just wasn't getting better. And I'm on, you know, antibiotics, and I'm on steroids, and I, you know, and I've got all these things going on because I can't take other medicines that might be more aggressive. And so, but it really brought home a fact that I've always known, and I've never really let go of, but it's just like, what if this is it? What if this is the illness that's going to take me out? And, you know, because it can start as small as a cold or a flu. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, am I okay with that? Because, you know, how you always have to kind of check yourself when you have a chronic or terminal illness, like, you know what, I got to check myself. Am I cool? Have I done everything I want to do? Am I living the way I need to live? And for the most part, I have to confess that, yes, I felt like, you know what, I've been incredibly lucky, in my job, in my relationship. But I will say the one thing that kept coming up in my mind was children. That's the one regret I had. That, you know, because I tease about how much Katie wants children, and of course she wants children, but, you know, it just, the more, not only the more I'm with her and see, you know, and consider it more and want it more, but I think that it's one of the things, that's what keeps coming up when I get this sick.
Is it the legacy? Is it the legacy part of it, or is it the fact that you haven't had the experience of raising children yourself?
It's the legacy part, I think, more so than anything. Mm-hmm. I think that's
a very human quality.
Yeah.
That's very much a thing. I mean, I think that's sort of programmed in all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to leave a legacy.
Yeah. I just feel like the only, you know, because we're in a business that is, you know, is a popularity contest. I mean, we thrive, all of us in this room thrive on attention, or we wouldn't be doing what we're doing, you know, and and those of us in this room have been very successful at making a name for ourselves in this community. And there are people that know us, and there are people that love us just based on what we do. And that's fantastic. But
there's people that hate us based on what we do too.
True. But, but even the most passionate fans of the Burt Show in 100 years, nobody is going to be talking about us except for the people in our families. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, the fact that, you know, there are things, I mean, it's just the idea, like I was laying in my guest room one day, just changing positions in different rooms. And I was in my guest room one day.
House humping?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which, yeah, that's right. I really felt like doing that. Well, there's a library, and a third of my library is my father's books that he passed down to me. And I just thought, I'm collecting these books that I will never read simply because they were my father's.
Yeah.
They're anybody else's, I would have given them away. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I mean, it's just those little things when it comes to family, and especially your parents and your grandparents and your great grandparents, that it just, for me, I thought, you know what, if I had more time and I had a chance to do it, I would really make more of an effort to have children.
I have a friend that is fighting breast cancer right now, and she's been very, very candid in things that have been going on with her. Mm-hmm. And she's lost her breast, and she's lost her ovaries also. And she said to me that the hardest thing of this whole thing hasn't been the fight against the cancer. It's been the fact that she knows now she's never going to have children.
Mm-hmm.
That's been way bigger fight for her than the actual mm-hmm. cancer.
Now, she can have children. I mean, you know, because Katie and I, not only are we thinking about using our own eggs, we're seriously thinking about adoption. There's opportunities out there, you know, absolutely, to have children. It doesn't have to be a blood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just, you know, and that's obviously a selfish reason. I mean, I would do my best to be a mother. I think I'd be a better mother now that I'm older than I would have been when I was younger. That's just a personal thing. But yeah, I mean, I have to say that, you know, I never have this feeling of why me, because I should be dead. You know, so I never really, truly ever think, why me? I don't think I'm unlucky. I don't think that, mm-hmm. you know, why do I have to worry about every flu season that comes around and every, you know, because I do. And I'm constantly worried about when people are sick around me, and constantly, you know, it's just, this one got me, and it, you know, and it's still hanging on to me. So they're still in the back of my mind thinking, you know, until I'm completely well, mm-hmm. will I feel comfortable? Because I, you know, when you're sick and battling this, you know, illness on any level, when you're a transplant recipient, you know, you always think, wait, I'm not out of the woods until I'm completely well.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, this changed the way that you guys are at home, because Katie had gotten really sick after the stress of the holidays and everything else. Like, we are y'all still in your room together, and like, maybe next time You'll just separate rooms.
I think
faster.
I found that I am, both of us are a lot more conscious about that when we're outside the home. When you're at home, you're more comfortable.
Yeah.
I do think that Katie probably, you know, I can't speak for her. I'm assuming that in the back of her mind, she thinks, you know what, next time it's going to be different.
The Bird Show.
All right, let me tell you about Farmville real quick, yeah. Because my crops wilted over the week that I was sick, okay? So I'm not making any damn money, and I appreciate people, you know, coming and fertilizing my crops. And
we started doing the math on it, and we thought maybe mm-hmm. you were lying to us on the radio, saying you didn't know anything about Farmville, when in reality, you had a crop.
I can trace it down to Facebook, because there was a Facebook like announcement that I had joined Farmville. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the date of that, it is the same day that we talked about it on air.
Right.
So
right.
I did not join Farmville until we talked about it on air. And I thought, well, let me see what all this is about. So, no, I did not lie to you that day. And then since then, I've tried. I can't do anything. The thing about Farmville that frustrates me, okay? Let me just tell you real quick.
Okay.
Here
we go. Somebody's got some fertilizer in there.
Well, it's the fact that, I mean, you know what gets people is there's what sucks you into Farmville, the way they manipulate their farmers, is the fact that there is a time limit on each crop. So you literally have to keep track. If I plant strawberries, it tells me how long before I need to harvest them. If I plant wheat, it tells me, and if I don't go back, they wilt, and
so
then I lose money.
So is that why people are getting up at 2 a.m. to harvest their crops?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Water or whatever.
Because, you know, when I first started it.
So if you let it wilt, though, then what happens?
You lose the money, because the way it works is you spend money to plow and to seed the land. And then when the crops come, you harvest them, and then you get a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I spent the money to seed it and to, you know, to plow it, but now that my crops have wilted, I've lost all that money. So
but
I don't have any more money to
not
seed.
Real. But it's not real money.
It's not real.
So it's Farmville money.
So you're getting upset over fake money.
Well,
and
I'm getting
fake crops.
So if people are, I'm not really playing because I'm a broke farmer with a dustbin that is my farm.
Now people are going to send you
now.
Gifts. I know.
I got 60 requests last week for people to be my neighbor. On Farmville. And I was a little freaked out by that.
you don't like real neighbors.
I don't talk about real neighbors, so why the hell am I going to talk to you?
Virtual.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm shocked that you would embark on any project that you know other people are getting up for. You sleep 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, the last thing you're going to do is set an alarm to weed a field.
I'm not. That's why I have nothing in my farm.
Get it. The Bird Show. Listen. It's the Bird Show.
So, am I normal? We've done this on the show a few times. It's been a while. And our caller, we actually had a caller who, the whole reason we're going to do this, she wanted to know if she was normal, mm-hmm. and she bailed on us.
No way. Can we at least talk about her normal or abnormalness?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we can use her real name of Tanya.
Oh.
Because if she's not going to join us, then she doesn't have the opportunity to use a fake name or voice disguise. But apparently, Tanya, once a month, has to go in front of her bosses and justify the work she's done over the past 30 days. Like, kind of present to them, I don't know if she works in sales or what she does, but every month she has to go into a room with her boss and say, this is how much I sold, these are the new leads I've found, this is whatever.
I wonder if she's always done it or she's just doing it now in this, you know, weird job climate.
I think she, I don't know what the situation is, but
her
it's
bosses are like, oh God.
It's
the 30th again?
It's required for her at work. That's not the weird thing.
Oh, that's okay.
No, that's normal. Okay. That's every month that she's required to go in there. The weird thing that she does is she puts on an iPod, plays hardcore rap music in the bathroom, and runs in place in a stall to get her adrenaline up.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Before she goes in? Yes.
I think that's actually awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
It's not normal, but it's pretty cool.
So she goes in there.
It's not the music part. I think it's her jogging in the stall.
My thought is if you go into the bathroom after her and you see that going on, you're wondering what got her all bound up.
Yeah, she's like a cat who's all excited now that she's done her business.
Yeah. But you know how you can hear when somebody's got the headphones on, so you hear the music playing in the background.
Yeah.
And hear the tiny little music sounds, and then you just see somebody running. Then she comes out, and you're expecting her. Or I guess her to be dressed up to, you know, about to go out for a run or something.
But she's dressed for business meeting.
Full on tune. I'm ready to go in.
I love that.
Get
I
want
to know what song she listens to.
Mm. All
to
she
get
wrote,
her pumped up.
All she said in her email was that it was hardcore rap music. So that was
funny.
That's awesome.
So staying pumped. Do you guys have anything?
Well, you know,
a couple.
In the you know, honor of the Golden Globes, I've done this for I don't know how long, and I think because when I was a kid, I was addicted to all these award shows, and of course, like every kid, you know, think about winning an Oscar and what it would be like to be at the Oscars and everything. So,
right.
And it is without fail every time I climb stairs that I think that I'm walking up to receive my award. At the Oscars. Every time.
Like a full flight of stairs or like a little six-step?
Doesn't matter. I just, for some reason, stairs remind me that I'm going to receive my Oscar. And I'll start the stair, if it's a long staircase, I'll start the stairs, you know, kind of fast. And then the top of the stairs, I'll take a little slower because, you know, everybody that wins, like, once they get to the top, they're just like, yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, take those last two steps very slowly.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so when you see me climbing a stairs, just
any
know
set.
In my mind, I'm either winning, you know, best screenplay or best actress.
I love that.
Yeah.
Hey, John, welcome to the Bird Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Love the show.
We're glad to help and tell you if you're normal or not.
Okay, well, actually, I know that it's definitely not normal. Some of my fiance makes me do.
Okay.
She'll make me play Sleeping Beauty with her. She'll lie down in the bed, and she'll make me go outside the room and then come in and do a whole dialogue. Be like, oh, who's this I see? Is this Sleeping Beauty?
Are you kidding me?
No, and I'll have to go over and give her a kiss, and if I don't do it right, I got to do it again.
You really love this woman, don't you?
Oh, I do, and it's funny because sometimes like I'll go over to make her kiss, and she'll be like giggling inside, then she'll like just bust out laughing. She goes, oh, let's do it again, let's do it again. I didn't do it right.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
And how far into the relationship did she like start doing this role-playing thing? Because that doesn't happen off the bat.
No, okay, we've been together for about 7 years. I'd say it started about a year and a half ago.
Okay, so 5 years into the relationship.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was like,
that's
funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
that's...
How did that even start? Is it something she always wanted to do?
Well, when you
I have no idea. Like, I know she loves like Disney movies, and it was just funny. I don't know. I think we were watching a movie one day, and then, like, you know, I think I actually egged it on where I was, like, just joking around, like, oh, you know, because she would fall asleep. And I think I might have said, oh, you know, it's Sleeping Beauty, and I gave her a kiss, and then she loved it from that point. So I think it was my fault. And I hate playing that game. She always wanted to play it. I'm like, jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, she's really hot, isn't she?
She actually is.
She is.
She gets away with it.
I knew that.
So the answer to that, am I normal?
Yeah.
No.
404-741-Q100, that's the phone number if you want to call and let us evaluate whether or not you're normal.
I've got one. I actually fold my jeans before I put them in the dryer.
What?
I know. I don't know where it started or where I heard about it, but I feel like a long time ago, I can't even remember, but somebody told me that
did all three of us give a high-pitched, what?
Yeah, my mouth is still
agape. I have to take out my jeans. It's very much like a methodical thing, whatever.
Okay.
And I hate doing laundry, so I don't want to prolong it, but now that I heard this, I have to do it. I have to take the jeans out and like shake them out, right? Because you know how they get all twisty and bindy and whatever in the dryer?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have to like smooth out the legs.
In the washer, you mean?
In the washer, yes. I'm sorry. From the washer, I take them out. I have to shake them out and then like smooth down the legs to kind of like get the wrinkles out when they're still wet. And then I have to like fold them in half and then lengthwise again. And then I put them in the dryer before I dry them. And I feel like it makes them less wrinkled and I feel like it makes my jeans last longer. But I'm not really sure how I think that.
You know, the wrinkles fall out as the jeans dry.
From the heat.
But to me, I feel like they're going to turn out better if they're folded. So every time I do laundry, I fold wet jeans and put them in the dryer.
So whatever makes you feel.
Yeah.
Feel.
So I know that's not normal.
But you're not.
No.
Normal.
No.
Hey, Shelby, welcome to the Bird Show.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Okay. I try to see how many circles I can run around in my kitchen before the microwave beeps.
Oh. Really?
So you put something in there to heat up. You throw in your SpaghettiOs. You hit you hit 90 seconds, and then you take off like a horse.
And I try to see how many circles I can run.
Oh my God, that's great!
And where do you describe your kitchen? Where do you run around?
Well, it's not very big. So I sort of get really, really dizzy.
And so you run around in circles and you count them.
Uh-huh.
What's your record?
Yeah.
Well, I put soup in there for 30 seconds, and I ran 29.
Oh, my God. Oh, awesome. A lap a second. Right. Good job.
Done.
Good job.
That is a small kitchen.
Yeah. That's not, and that's also not normal. Hey, Ashley, welcome to the Bird Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I cannot put anything in my mouth without smelling it first.
Oh, one of my best friends is like this. She smells everything.
Yeah. So like gum or like a mint or...
anything. I can't smell it without putting it in my mouth. I mean, I can't put it in my mouth without smelling it first. I think it's weird. I want to make sure it's okay before I eat it or drink it.
Is it every forkful that you guys do, or is it just like the first
bite? The initial
bite? Like if you have a steak, do you smell each bite of the steak, or do you just smell the first one?
No, I just smell it before I eat it.
My friend does it with silverware. She has to smell her silverware before she uses
it. No, I don't like
really?
Metal.
Yeah, like she smells everything, and it's like it's kind of weird. This thing, like if she picked up this pen to use it, she would probably smell it first and then use the pen.
So
what does that do?
What is she looking for?
I don't know. She said it's just a sort of a habit thing. But I've noticed the silverware thing. She takes. I mean, it's in her own home, in her own kitchen,
her own dishwasher.
Like she washes the dishes, puts them away, but picks up her fork. And smells
see,
it.
See, so you're more normal than Jen's friend.
My family gets really annoyed because when we'll go to like a nice restaurant, I'll smell the food before I eat it, and they think it's really rude.
Do you bring the plate up to your nose, or do you cut it off with your fork? And
no, I will bring the plate up to my nose. I'm not going to put my face on the table.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, at least you have manners about it.
Standards, too.
yep, that's not odd. Not normal.
I have a friend who I was asking about this yesterday, and she said at her house, her purse has to hang facing a certain direction on the chair when she walks in the house.
I have a direction thing.
If it's hanging the other direction,
it bugs her.
It will bother her all night. So when she walks in the house, her purse has to hang a certain direction.
See, I can't sleep not facing the door. So I have a direction thing. Like if I go to sleep and I'm facing the window, I will wake up immediately and turn and face the door.
Somehow, you mean you'll roll over in bed?
Yeah, because somehow I think someone's going to come and kidnap me, and if I see them before they kidnap me, I know they're there.
You can get away.
I don't know.
It's funny you say that because I cannot sleep with any arm or leg hanging off the bed. Like, since I was a kid. It's still the kid. There's a monster under the bed thing. Still, here I am in my late 30s, and I can't sleep with my leg hanging over the bed. I have to tuck it slowly back in.
Hide
it in there with your Oscar.
Right, yeah, exactly. See? My Oscar will save me.
And you can save your breath, because I know this isn't normal, and I don't know why I do it, and I don't know where it came from. But if I'm driving through a neighborhood that has, like, a lot of stop signs or a lot of turns to go to someone's house, then for some reason, and I'm in the car alone, for some reason, I start to imagine myself driving one of the parking lot trams at Disney World.
Oh, my God, that's weird.
What?
Yep. Seriously.
You should not have said this right before Burt's Big Adventure. You know that, right?
Well, I will actually make turns wide so that all four cars of the tram will make it around the turn.
Do you ever pretend you have a walkie-talkie?
No, it hasn't gotten that far yet.
Hi, and over on the left, kids.
Awesome. No, that is not normal.
Arms and legs inside the vehicle, people. Please remain seated till we arrive at our destination.
Symbol one.
It's not. I'm not in the park, Jen. I'm in the parking lot.
I'm sorry. I thought you were on the safari at the Animal Kingdom.
That's on a track. I'm free. I'm go wherever I want.
He's trying to take people to their cars.
I'm actually delivering people to a real place. That's symbol one. Hey, Joanne, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
How are you? Good. How are you?
Good.
All my friends think it's gross, but I think it just makes me happy, so I do it. When I eat peanut M&Ms, I have a napkin in front of me, and I have to put one at a time. I color code them first. Then I put one at a time in my mouth, get all the chocolate out, and the peanut has to stay completely intact.
Ew.
I put that on a piece of napkin, and I wait till I eat all the peanuts. I eat all the chocolate, and then I go back and eat the peanut one at a time.
Oh, that sounds really awful.
Not only is that not normal, it's disgusting.
It's awesome. The peanuts have the best flavor when they're by themselves. It's wonderful.
Do you collect them?
No.
She eats them.
I love the way she responds to Wendy, almost annoyed. No.
It's almost like she's double dipping her peanuts.
Have you ever had them like on the napkin on your desk and had somebody walk up to your cubicle and just take a few of them?
Oh, yeah. They think it's disgusting because they look gross. They look like it's nasty. But,
it makes you happy.
I just take care of it.
Not normal.
But if we did a segment called Am I Annoying? It's those people who eat like... like Snicker bars. I had friends in school that would eat Snicker bars like on the outside.
Like an ear of corn.
And then the top.
Yeah.
And then, eat the damn candy bar.
The only food that you can dissect before consuming it is an Oreo cookie.
Yes, because everything else is, it's not baby bites. You got to, commit to the chocolate.
Hey, Victoria, you'll be our last call for this round of Am I Normal?
Okay, ever since I can remember, middle school, I don't like doors to open when I go to sleep, and I don't like mirrors in my room to reflect light. So I would take, my full-length mirror off the wall and turn around backwards so that I couldn't, see anything.
And you do this every night?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not normal. And
do you do it to every mirror?
I only had the full-length mirror in my room, so.
Nope, not normal.
This is The Bert Show. This is The Bert Show.
Previously on The Bert Show.
I've had two pictures on this little bulletin board, One of my coworkers, she gave me, one of the three frame things that you put on the desk that popped in the two, and I didn't really care about the third empty slot, but she has been commenting on it for the last month now. Innocently, I find any random picture, one of my coworkers, from a company event.
Is it a picture of just your coworker? Is it you and your coworker or a group of people with that coworker?
It was just the two of us.
You understand that, Melissa?
So he has a coworker that he has a picture of on his desk.
What you didn't hear is he had two pictures thumbtacked above his desk.
Uh-huh.
And for Secret Santa, his coworker gave him a little montage frame.
Right.
And he put the two pictures in it. And then she was giving him grief because the third slot was empty. Because he only had two pictures there at the office.
So because she's giving him grief, he puts a picture of him and her.
What he claims is that he just went on his computer and went to the last email or last file of pictures that were shared, find a picture of the girl who gave him the frame and him at a company party that was a vertical picture,
right?
So fit in the slot, put it in there, wifey saw it, is convinced the two of them are having an affair.
Huh, okay.
Some were calling up also saying that they didn't buy his story either.
Mm-hmm. Some people thought he was having the affair. Or was at least interested in her.
But he
it was kind of like a flirty gesture.
Thing. Right.
But the universal advice was don't have the coworker call your wife because she's not going to buy it anyway.
It's just
going to make it a way bigger deal anyway.
Right. Yeah. Here is Daniel back. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Hi. How are you?
I don't know. I'm totally baffled. I'm confused. I'm not good.
Are you still in the doghouse?
Yeah. I'm in the doghouse down the block now.
What happened?
All right, so I took, everyone's advice, and I attempted to try to fix the situation. I emailed my coworker. I figured that was maybe the best way to try to, get her to help me out.
All right, so you did tell her what was going on with your wife?
Yeah, I explained the whole thing, what happened, and I asked her if she would call my wife and just tell her, nothing's going on. I gave her cell phone number,
dude.
So you didn't take our advice?
Of course not.
Well, you guys didn't really give me any advice.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, we said if you have the coworker call your wife, then she's not going to believe it anyway, and she may be more apt to think you're just trying to cover something up, was the advice that all of us gave you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, no, everyone was telling me they thought I was doing it, and I didn't, so I was just trying to clear my name.
So she called your wife.
So, no. She was like, she responded to the email. She was like, this is a little too weird for me, and it's my problem, and no, she's not doing anything.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That's probably the smart way to handle it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, all right. Then I figured, all right, well, that's evidence at least enough, so I forwarded that on to my wife.
Okay.
And
oh, no.
Oh, no. Let me call you a wrecker.
Can't, because he's...
Maybe I should have called you guys.
There's no pulling him out.
Oh, no.
Well, all right, so I thought this was a good idea. I forwarded it to my wife, and I was like, look, see, if there was something going on, she wouldn't have responded like this,
Sure, and there's no chance that you guys would have talked in the hall and said, look, I'm going to send you an email, and here's how I want you to respond. Mm-hmm.
So what did your wife say after she got the forward?
Well, she replied all, so that my coworker saw it, and she was like, this proves nothing, and basically, I'm still in the doghouse, and she hasn't talked to me all weekend.
That's a good way to handle things.
Yeah, well, I think that you've embarrassed your wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because it makes, like, if Katie was involved or I thought she was involved with somebody else, for that woman to be in conversation with Katie or for her to forward me an email between her and that woman would so make me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because if nothing's going on, then that girl needs to be cut out of the picture. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And for you to keep going to the coworker and... I don't know. It just, yeah, I would be, as the wife, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be angry. I'd be, feel disrespected, you know, that you're you're showing your business out to everybody else. And so, I would definitely think something's going on.
But what can he do at this point? Okay, so let's say he made the mistake and he puts the picture of the coworker in the frame. All right, he admits that I made a mistake. She doesn't believe him at this point. So what can he do?
Take the picture out and leave that coworker alone.
Yeah, is the frame still up on your desk?
Yeah, but I mean, I'll take the picture out. I mean,
you haven't taken the picture out.
Yeah, why haven't you done that?
Because I've been dealing with other stuff, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, does the coworker know that the picture of her is in the frame still? Also.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, she works down the hall.
Okay, so she's creeped out now, also.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
So now you have to have your wife call your coworker and tell her you're not creepy.
Cool.
What's that?
I just figured nothing's going on. I figured this was all cool. I mean, I figured this would just clear
but
my name.
You're looking at it from a logical guy point of view. You have to look at it from a emotional woman point of view.
Oh, my God. You're an idiot. And the thing is that you need to realize is that your wife should be number one.
Was that to Jeff or Daniel?
I won't say. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, to Daniel. Because I think that your wife is number one and her concern is number one, period.
Right.
So the thing is, a photo in the frame shouldn't mean anything. And, you know, to me, that's the logical part is, well, duh, leave the coworker should be completely off your desk and completely off your email and completely
out of
your life.
But what he's trying to do what guys do, and that is solve the problem. Oh, my God, the problem is my wife thinks there's a situation with this woman, so how do I solve that problem? Well, this woman tells my wife, and then it's done. Your wife is responding to this whole thing emotionally, and she's responding to this from a place of insecurity and a place
of... Oh, my God, are you kidding me?
It's totally your wife's fault. You ought to start having an
affair
with
your coworker. No, I'm not saying...
If she's going to blame you for it,
condescending to the wife.
Well,
I'm not being condescending. You guys aren't even listening to me.
Yeah,
yes, we are.
The emotional, insecure woman is blown it out of proportion.
There's got to be a reason before the picture frame that she's insecure.
Thank you, Jen.
I think there's a reason before the picture frame that she doesn't trust her husband.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's an emotional response that he is trying to solve it logically, and there is it is not something that can be solved logically. It's not a dead battery in a car. It's not something that you can fix by having the woman call or by having the battery, by having the battery replaced or the picture removed. You have to find whatever the emotional situation is with your wife. Is she insecure? What have you done to make her not trust you in the past? What is the reason that she's having this reaction to a picture of a coworker on the desk? That's how you have to address it.
Jahia, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, I just wanted to tell the caller, I think, he screwed up, but really, you guys are right. Like, his wife is really insecure about something. But I think he should come to her with, like, just completely laying it all on the table and be like, look, honey, I know this looks bad, but as your husband, I need you to trust me, but I also want to know why you feel this way, because it's so much bigger than the picture. But let her know, and in a bond of marriage, that's kind of one of the big things is trust. So just tell her, look, as your husband, I need you to take my word. I know this looks horrible, and I apologize if you were offended in any way, but I need you to trust me just this once. This is my one gimme.
Hey, Daniel, have you had infidelity issues in your relationship before?
No.
When you guys were dating or anything like that?
No, I'm a one-woman guy. I love her. That's it. No.
It doesn't even have to be. Has she ever dealt with infidelity in any relationship she's been in?
I think there's a boyfriend in college that might have cheated on her, but I mean...
Because I
disagree that a woman's going to be scarred for life about something like that. I think that,
women never get over something like that.
It doesn't have to be scarred for life, but this... Seeing another woman's picture on his desk created a reaction in her that he has to address somehow, and the way he's going to do that is by finding out. And if it's because of a boyfriend cost her trust, or maybe did it her dad.
Just the fact that it happened would tick me off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to blame the wife for this, because are the other two pictures in that frame, are those of your wife?
Well, one's me, so hopefully that's not a problem. The other one's our family, you know?
Okay, so your family is in one of the pictures. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just, yeah, I mean, I don't think very many people would be cool with somebody having a picture of you and your partner and a coworker on their desk.
Here's Jessica. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. Firstly, I have to say, he's a complete moron.
Hey, why
even share this information with people statewide whenever the answer is just so obvious? You have a picture of your family, and you have a picture of your coworker. What does that say to everyone who passes by your desk?
All right, so he's admitting it might have been a mistake, so what does he do?
He takes off the picture, and I work as a private investigator, so I've done Teeter's cases before. So basically, he needs to sit down with his wife and talk it out with her and be like, okay, I was a moron, you know, I'm a guy, we don't always necessarily think correctly, I'm joking, but... you know, everyone does make mistakes, and if it truly is innocent, you know, I mean, he's broadcasting this over the air in the state of Georgia, so...
I definitely do agree that he needs to be the one to communicate with his wife. Not your coworker, mm-hmm. not your best buddy, not your mom's mom, cousin. No, you need to communicate with your wife and take the picture out of the frame.
Yeah, I think Jeff nailed it. There's got to be something there that's making her feel this way, and you're not tapping into it in any way, shape, or form. You might have been the reason, or you might not, but she's obviously reacting this way for a reason.
Well, I mean, I just think the fact that he hadn't taken the picture out of the frame, like he hadn't thought to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a feeling that he may be the reason.
Yeah, you're not handling it 100% either.
Just saying.
It sounds logical.
Just saying.
Sounds logical. Guys are logical.
Yeah. He hadn't figured that one out. Hmm.
So, Daniel, have a conversation with your wife.
Try to, at least.
I will try to fix this. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
He sounds a little beat up.
Yeah, well, it's been a long
weekend. What else
weekend.
Do you say to the guy? I mean, what else can you say?
He's just being an idiot.
Man, at least take the picture out of the frame at this point, dude. Do something.
Yeah, and don't forward the email
no,
to your coworker.
He's not bright.
Too late for that.
It's the Burt Show. Here, Burt Show.
So I've been going out and about recently, just meeting different people, and I'm finding that I'm running into more guys, and the guys that I'm meeting right now all have kids. And I have never dated a guy who's had kids, really talked to a guy who's had kids before, or even one kid, or who's wanted kids. And they're all, like, older guys, or for me, considered them older. Like,
what are you talking about? Like 30, late, 32, 33?
Like, late 20s, early 30s, in their mid-30s. But, I mean, nice guys, really interested in them. But the only fear I have is that they have kids. And I'm not prepared for kids, but I do want to genuinely get to know these people, but... I'm nervous on the fact, like, when do they introduce you to the kid, or do you have to date for a long time with the kid? I don't know how all that works and how to balance their time with my time. I just...
Well, if you're not interested, I guess it's a couple of different questions here. If you're not interested in dating anybody with kids, is that what you're saying right now? You're not ready for that?
I'm not ready for kids personally, but the guys I'm meeting, it seems more and more I'm meeting awesome guys, but they all have children. So,
and that's holding you back?
And that's holding me back from even... There's one guy who's... asked me out on a date numerous times, and I've just kind of avoided the phone call and the text messaging, like right now, because he's got a child, and I don't know if I'm prepared for that or not.
You've even said that you don't want your own children.
No, I love kids to pieces. Like, I love kids. I love being around kids. Kids make me feel awesome. They're just so much fun and non-judgmental. That's why I love kids. And
they make your
great.
Hands look normal?
Yes, they make me feel awesome. No, aww. Kids are amazing.
She can give them a high five, and it's the same size.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't have time for kids right now. I mean, I don't really want kids. And
ever? Or are you saying, you know, now you don't have the time, but are you a person that...
Yeah, I don't know if I ever want kids.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to be something for me. Like, right now, this very moment, no, I don't want children.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the guys I'm meeting are amazing. They're awesome guys, and they're cool to get to know, but I'm avoiding going out with the guys because they have a child.
Okay, let's look at this logically. If you don't want to have children, then why would you even consider dating a guy that has kids?
I mean, that's all I'm meeting right now. Like, I'm going out, and, like, this past weekend, I met a guy with a kid who's awesome, and I didn't know he had a kid when we were first starting to talk, but then as the conversation develops and you get in further into the night, then you find out they have children, and they explain that they have children. So I don't know whether or not to do it or not.
I wonder if I'm, like, a single parent. If I don't think that I would – well, maybe I would be. I'm trying to think, if you're a single parent, if somebody says to you after they find out you have kids, if you say, oh, you know what? I'm not interested in dating anybody that has kids. Probably be offended, right? But at least you'd be honest.
I think it would be. Yeah, I think it would be. And we've talked to single parents before on like how quickly they should bring it up. And I mean, it's something that's pretty important. You got to bring it up right away.
See, I almost think because you are a single parent that your time is so limited that I think I would rather know initially, even though it might have offended me or it might hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. I think I would rather know immediately we've got zero future together, even though we seem to have a chemistry. Kids aren't in my future. So there's another 100 women in the bar. Maybe you ought to go talk to them.
But does your mind change? Like, what if, like, let's say I go out on a couple dates with this guy who has a kid, and then does your mind change about having kids? I mean, I don't know if it can change or...
What would intimidate me, and I guess is the issue, is that since children are involved, there's a little bit more heaviness and responsibility to the dating, because I would be not intimidated that somebody has children and or that I would end up being responsible for that child if the relationship continues. It's just... getting a relationship with that child and then it not working. Mm-hmm. You know, like how much of a wall do I build between myself and their kid? Because you want to impress, you know, the person by being nice to their kid. But then again, if it doesn't work out, then there's,
I would almost say don't meet the kids at all.
I think you have to be dating for a while before you actually meet the kids expose the kids to that. And I think too, like you also have to think that there is going to be a former either... wife or husband or whoever.
Always gonna be somebody.
There's always going to be another parent in the situation. So that's something for somebody who doesn't have children like you, you're like, that's adding like a whole other layer. Like, I just want to know
if he likes
scary movies or not. I don't want to deal with all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, here it is, adds a whole new level.
Here's Bobby, who is a single dad. Hey, Bobby, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good, man. Can you give Wendy some advice here?
Well, I mean, I'm a single dad. I've had my daughter now for 6 years. You know, it's just me and her, and I've been out with several women, and, you know, when they find out that not only am I a dad, but, you know, it's just me and her, sometimes I'll see them get out of the way really quick.
Is that offensive to you?
Yes and no. I mean, not really. After I'm kind of used to it because, you know, some females, they just don't want to deal with the kid issue. And because there's not really a mother involved, it's like they feel that they're going to be taking on the mother role, even though I try to let them know that's not what I want.
I don't think kids are issues. Like, that's not an issue. But, I mean... I don't want to have to get into a relationship and then break it off, and then you meet a kid and the kid's involved now, and then you have them. I would feel bad even for the mother of the child because I don't want to offend her by trying to even be in the picture.
I just wouldn't want to be the guy that you're using as the guinea pig to test if you would date a guy with kids or not. Like, you know in your head you don't want kids, so if I'm a single dad, I wouldn't want anything to do with you at all.
But if the connection is that great, maybe you would change your mind on that.
I don't want to be that guy is what I'm saying.
Right. You don't want to be the test guy right. on that. But if for some reason, like, I think that you should maybe sort of let go of those boundaries, even though it does present definitely new challenges to dating. Like, what if you're not meeting, like, the man of your dreams because you're eliminating him already because of that, you know?
Because usually when we talk to guys, they're emphatic about it. No, there's no way in hell I'd date a woman with a kid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least, you know, with Wendy, she's open because she's trying to determine whether or not to focus on the right thing, which is the guy's personality. Like, you know, but there is that does present different issues if he does have a great personality and you do connect and you do continue on. You know, something to consider.
Hey, Margaret, good morning.
Hey, I just have a comment about the dating with kids thing. I'm a single mom, and when I go out with any guy that I meet, I have to be sure that they're going to be okay with the kid thing, because if you're not a parent, you cannot possibly understand what it means to sacrifice your time, your money, your energy for a kid. So if you're dating somebody and you're not really into their kids, you're going to get really offended that he doesn't have time, money, or energy for you because he's got to give it to his kids. And that's just a hard concept to wrap your brain around if your head isn't there for the whole parenting kid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would change up too, because, like, say the ex-wife has the kids for the weekend, then you get him and you get all of his attention for the whole weekend, and then it'll be for the next 2 weekends he's got the kids, so then you don't get any attention.
That's tricky.
So it goes from and a then, lot of attention to zero attention. And
Wendy likes attention.
I mean, we all like attention and affection. I mean, and then having to split it like right away, like immediately, could be a big challenge and something to overcome. Because I'm not used to that.
Hey, Lisa, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, I'm a single mom. Don't waste my time. I'm not your guinea pig. I got to work. I got to pay my bills. Mm-hmm. I got a mortgage. I got to take care of my kids and after school programs and softball. Uh-uh. You don't want kids, I'm not here to change your mind. Go out, find yourself a single man, have fun, be joyous, leave me alone.
And that's that.
That's it. No, I really appreciate the advice because I don't want to waste anyone's time.
Yeah, I say it's not something that you can really dabble in.
Yeah, I guess not. But at the same time, he is an awesome guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see.
You got more guy friends than any woman that I know.
Guy friends?
Guy friends, yeah. They're just sort of waiting in the weeds, too, just for you to slip.
To pounce on you, but yes. you just won't. You just will not open that door to them.
Which makes her even hotter.
Like, if we were to visualize what it's like in the world of Wendy, it's almost like the American Idol auditions. Like, there's Wendy in the middle, and there's just a line around the building of guys waiting for you to be vulnerable.
It's a lot of, pants on the ground, guys. Just waiting for you.
Ew, that's creepy.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.